Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
How rich are you? In 30 seconds, you can take inventory, seeing how you rate in comparison to the rest of the world. I'll ask you 4 rather basic questions, and you can give a simple yes or no answer. Question number 1, do you own more than 1 pair of shoes? Not too difficult to answer, judging by the display of footwear on the floor or the shelf of your closet, right? Question number 2, do you own your own car, truck, or motorcycle? Not too tough when you consider the difficulty you may have finding a parking place for that second car, maybe third, boat, or camper. Question 3. Do you have a choice of food each day? Last question. Do you have more than 1 change of undergarments? Now listen carefully to how most people in the world would answer. If you answered yes to 3 of those 4 questions, you are rich compared to most of the people in the world because only 1 in 10 around the world can answer yes to even 3 of those questions. And you think you have it tough. Yes, riches are relative. When we were living in Asia, one of our children asked, "How come we're so rich here and then so poor when we go home?" meaning back to the States. Most of the people in the world live only 1 meal away from hunger. Having no refrigerator, they go to the market every morning to supplement their diet of rice and beans. Shortages, storms, or famine affect them, especially the poor of the world who seemingly grow poorer every day. For them, poverty is terminal. But of course, it's rather difficult for most of us to relate to that because we look in the mirror and plan our next diet. Riches and wealth are relative. Yet no matter where you are in relationship to the rest of the world, what you have and need is intensely personal. Now, if you're hungry, the condition of the rest of the world isn't as important as your immediate need. If you are a single mother and your income is exhausted and you live in a large city surrounded by thousands of unfriendly strangers and there's no help in sight, you are faced with a crisis of major proportions. Bob Pierce, a man great in compassion who founded World Vision, wrote, "I have lived in Asia and have seen the wretchedness and poverty and the revulsion of disease and the disgust of ignorance. I have also noticed that when you look the other way, it is much easier to pass by until you do not see it at all. The pain of suffering has been totally masked out by the little world you live in. Hunger, be it physical or spiritual, lies at our doorstep. We do not ask for it. We do not like it, but nevertheless, it is there. The needs of people knock one at a time. Eventually, every person must answer the question, what am I going to do about it? You can, of course, say, that's not my problem, and shut the needs of others from your mind, or you can say, I can't change everything, but I can do something about the pain at my elbow. 2 friends were walking on a beach covered by starfish washed ashore by a high tide. The starfish were destined soon to die in the burning sun on the sandy beach. One man began picking up starfish, gently tossing them into the ocean. The friend says, what you doing? What difference does it make? You can't save all of them. It's true, he said, but it makes a difference to the ones I save. Do something about the need that lies at your door, and you too will make a difference. Frankly, I don't have all the answers, but as I have come to grips with the enormity of the problem, it's amazing how I begin to see needs and hear the Spirit of God say, help here, or do something about this. The individual I stumble across, the one who's in my pathway as I move around, the knock at the door, the rap at the window, at the car. And when you do that, friend, you'll make a difference. I'm Dr. Harold Sala. You've just heard Guidelines.